You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, it's the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes, Trish McFarland. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. This is HR Happy Hour number 210.
210. Wow. That's a lot.
We are live from
rolling through them.
I know. It just feels like yesterday. It was like episode 72.
Exactly.
That I was doing in my basement with,
Like the Unabomber?
Yeah, probably. he's a tougher guest to get than you'd imagine.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But this is HR Happy Hour 210 live from Equifax Forum 2015 in wonderful New Orleans. We've had a great time here at the event, Trish. This is our third event.
It is. It's my first time in New Orleans, though, so this has been really interesting. I've been able to get out at least, 30 minutes, an hour here and there and kind of see a little bit of the city, so it's been fun.
And we'll talk about the event plenty and talk about
It's been amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Equifax Workforce Solutions puts on the best events. I say this every year. They continue to do it.
We need an award.
Tampa.
Right? We do so many. We should give an award to them.
Scottsdale last year was amazing. New Orleans was fantastic. So, great shout out to the crew. Everyone at Equifax is just so accommodating and welcoming and hospitable. Is that the right way to say it?
I think that's
hospitality.
What,
hospitable.
Hospitable.
I haven't used that word in a while. But anyway, so we're here live. That's enough with our nonsense, Trish. We have a great panel of folks sitting around the table with us today. Should we start on my right, introducing
our guests?
Dan
You're
Adams.
Right-hand man.
I'm here.
President, right? Did I get the right title? The titles are lofty, and I don't forget them all. But Dan Adams, welcome back to the HR Happy Hour Show.
Yeah, well, we absolutely appreciate it. We appreciate you guys being here. And we didn't think we'd top Scottsdale, but based on yesterday and today, I think we did.
That was something else, boy. If people have seen, if they haven't yet, they should see some of the tweets and the Instagram pictures. Particularly last night, that whole event last night, which is amazing. So, Dan, thank you for having us back at the event, and great to have you with us on the show again. Next, to Dan's right and your radio right
left?
As you're listening.
Right as you're listening.
Right
to
your left. Right. And you're listening down. Mike Sanka. I remember your title. Big guy in charge of everything data at Equifax Workforce Solutions. Can I say that? Is that a way to say it?
Sure, why not?
Great to have you, Mike. Welcome back to the show. You were on a couple weeks ago.
Thanks very much for having me. Yeah.
A couple months ago, or whatever it was.
For his quarterly appearance.
Yeah.
We lose track of time after a while with something.
We sure do. Yeah. We sure do. So great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And then finally, a newcomer.
We do.
Trish, you introduce our newcomer.
What are you? We have Scott Collins to my left, your right, right?
And, exactly.
Tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
So I run the Employer Services Group. This is my set of clients here with us in New Orleans today. As we said before, first time caller, long time listener. So thank you for having us here. It's gonna be great.
It's great.
Well, thanks, guys. Scott and Mike and Dan, thanks for joining us today on the show. This is we're recording this on Wednesday, April 15th.
So tax
this
day.
Right. Yeah. The final day of the conference. We should get this posted on Friday of this week. So, hey, let's talk about the event first off, because there's so much that I wanted to hit. But I think the thing I want to start with, Dan or Scott, whoever wants to jump in on this, is the opening session on Monday night, which was unique. In my view, from what most events do, so you brought in Tyson Foods as well as Team Rubicon,
right.
And it had nothing to do, as far as I could tell, it had nothing to do with Equifax products or solutions or technology, but it was all about how these organizations work in the community. I'd love for you maybe to comment, Scott.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that decision to bring those organizations
sure.
in and what that means to you guys here at Equifax.
Yeah, thank you. And we knew we'd have plenty of time over the couple days that we're here to talk about the services, the solutions that we offer. So we look for those. That welcoming session to bring a new point of view or something that's going to be intriguing to our clients. And we took advantage of the location that we're in, New Orleans, which is a great town, and people love being in New Orleans. But obviously, very much linked to Hurricane Katrina.
Sure.
And in fact, back to the tax day discussion, you know, we have been involved with Katrina, helping clients re-employ individuals in the affected zone with our Katrina tax credits. But we kind of thought about the fact that, you know, businesses exist to help improve their employees' lives, help improve the communities they serve. A good partner of ours, Tyson Foods, has done a tremendous job helping communities rebound and rebuild after natural disasters, including Hurricane Katrina. And they've kind of taken their broad footprint across the U.S., combined with their core competency in feeding people. And they've got a great program and passion around helping communities rebuild after huge natural disasters, bringing in cooks, bringing in volunteers to help feed communities. So it's a program called Meals That Matter. Mm-hmm. So Ed Nicholson and Pat Burke, that run that program for Tyson, really came in and talked about how they're very much involved in these communities and how it helps their employees stay engaged during that process. So amazing what they've done. Millions of pounds of chicken being cooked in these areas where they have floods, tornadoes, yeah, hurricanes, other natural disasters.
Yeah, it was something. Like when I was watching it, the way that the folks from Tyson described their operation, their organization, the way they deploy their resources,
right,
to these disaster zones, it could have been someone from the Red Cross, right, or, you know, FEMA for you know, talking about what they do. It was amazing to me that basically a food company thinks about disaster relief efforts in such a way. It was amazing to me. I had no idea that happened.
And it really started as grassroots, right? Yeah. So communities that had these issues, the employees in those areas got involved, then they made it a broader kind of company objective.
Yeah, and then let's talk about Team Rubicon, for a second as well, because that was another very compelling story,
yeah,
that you guys shared Monday night.
A partner of Tyson's, and this is a group that, you know, when I asked Ken Harbaugh, who's their chief operating officer, give me a 30-second soundbite what you guys do. He said, we make veterans an asset in the community. So they actually bring veterans together. They're up to now, I think, 20,000 veterans they work with. And they're leveraging the skill set they've built in the military to help communities, again, recover from natural disasters. And Ken went through the process they do both domestically. They talked about the typhoon in the Philippines. It's just amazing work they do, bringing that skill set of rallying people, medical help, logistics help, to help communities survive and rebuild after these natural disasters. I mean, it was a compelling, you could have heard a pin drop in that room listening to what Ken, yeah, has done to help re-engage these veterans into the community efforts. It was a great story. So together they've done some great work, and I think it really inspired businesses to think, even on a smaller scale, what can they do to help their communities that they serve?
Yeah, I for folks listening to the show, I would obviously check out what Tyson is doing with the Meals That Matter program. Definitely check out what Team Rubicon is doing as well, because especially the Team Rubicon, they were unknown to me before,
yep,
the other night, and it's great, great work, and folks should check out what both of those organizations are doing. So anyway, it was a great opening. It's a great way to set the tone for the conference, I thought, and so just kudos all around to Scott, you, your team, and everybody who sort of made that happen. So, all right, let's talk about Equifax a little bit. Man, you guys have come, every year we sort of talk and we sit down and we talk about the things that matter to organizations and to employers, but it's just getting more complex, right? Let's talk about compliance a little bit. You guys are basically the leaders in compliance solutions for organizations, and that doesn't sound terribly exciting, but as
yes,
Trish
it does.
Knows,
it's,
say,
it's
incredibly important, right? Trish, you know better than anybody, you know better than me for sure, about how important that is.
Well, I would just say before we kind of jump into some of the things that we learned about, it's just when you're in a practitioner role, you really can't do anything else right unless you get your compliance right. And so that's when, you know, when people ask you that question, what keeps you up at night? To me and to people I've known in that, you know, that top HR role, that's what keeps you up at night. If you don't have your compliance down, you really can't focus on any of the, what I always called the nice to haves, you know, in terms of HR solutions. And so that was always my priority. Did I have payroll right? Did I have benefits right? Was my compliance in line? And once those things were taken care of, you kind of can take a deep breath and say, okay, now I might, you know, work with other things. So what I would love to hear more about, what do you have new in the compliance space, you know, coming out both this year, maybe in the next year, some of the things you're seeing, and what are you hearing from your customers? What are they needing? And have their compliance needs changed at all in the last year or two since we've been kind of doing the show?
Absolutely. So it's not that we have new services, it's the level of complexity is accelerating. And, you know, as we point out, we are very centered around two, we call it our why. We enable access to credit, and we provide risk transparency to lenders through the work number. And through the work number, we have a number of services that are enabled with or enabled through that payroll data. We're known for the unemployment claim side, which is a compliance in its own, and because of UI integrity, every initial jobless claim, every claim that now goes through a state has to be documented, and fees are beginning to increase, and it's been a big change. And although initial jobless claims are down to kind of historic lows, the states themselves are requesting of HR. The questionnaires alone are up 43% year over year, and the amount of documentation is up about 21% year over year on a declining base, but that alone was almost 6 million pieces of transactions going back and forth with the states on that component. And that's one piece.
Sure.
And the other area is, of course, Mike Sanka's work with ACA, and we've been talking about it for four forums in a row.
Right.
And it's funny, the first forum, just a little bit of discussion didn't really fill the room, and there was one ACA event, and every year it's built, and I think we had four or five separate breakouts on ACA, including a general session, and it was standing room only.
Yeah, there was one room on ACA I saw the first morning of the event that, you know, you're trying to shoehorn people into there. They were out into the hallway trying to listen.
And Mike, I mean, if it has really surprised, I think, the HR community how complex this has gotten this year, but going into 2016, we're expecting, and I think I phrased it, the HR community is used to unemployment claims wage audits, and they've also had I-9 ICE audits.
Right.
Get ready for IRS ACA audits. Right.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I think the number that we heard Tom Dowling, one of our speakers, say that $8 billion of fine revenue is what the IRS was expecting to pick up this year. And that's all going to be driven off of the IRS reporting that employers are expected to begin submitting next year that they have to be tracking now. So I think that the story, and the recurring story that we've told about ACA over the years is this has a lot of tentacles.
Right.
The organization is going to have to develop a cadence around this. This is not a one and done, right? I think in the very beginning, the question was always, hey, is this a one and done? Do we just have to figure out if we can offer insurance, not offer insurance?
Right, pay or play, right?
Yeah. No. It's actually a lot more involved than that, and you have to have a cadence organization. We're seeing the leading organizations are developing that cadence. They're staffing for it internally. They're getting best-of-breed solutions. They're getting partners, but they know even if they were to outsource all that, they have responsibility and accountability in their own organizations. And like I said, the progressive organizations, we had Chick-fil-A speak today. They're very progressive around this and have been for years. They're adopting that cadence because they know, regardless of what happens in the Supreme Court decisions in that process, that the legislation is probably, and I think both sides of the aisle are saying, the legislation is going to stay in some form or format. It's probably going to continue to change, but there's going to be an impact on employers, right? So I think they're coming to that realization. But Dan's point of it's complex, it's sophisticated, it's tax code.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's tax code. And tax code doesn't seem to get simpler over the years.
Right. It's not possible for it to, right?
Maybe Steve Forbes would want to come in and do a flat tax on it. But
the other area that Scott Collins' team is working on is, and Scott can speak to this, is around our thrust around compliance center, and we've made a conscientious effort that we're not going to get into applicant tracking or learning management systems or
probably smart planning. Move. That market's
pretty crowded space.
Yeah.
But we do a couple things really well around we're the largest provider of I-9 E-Verify in the U.S. and we have been. We're one of the largest providers of work opportunity tax credit redemptions and location-based incentives. So our first tagline, we're trying to develop compliance that pays, meaning it pays for itself. So HR is always struggling for dollars in order to get funding. And so we're walking in with value props that say we can, with an elegant solution, we not only protect you from potential fines and reputational risk, but we can actually help you put dollars in your corporation through opportunities provided by tax code. And our clients have really asked us to step up the level of notifications and really kind of build a box around compliance that is a embedded strategy around just compliance tools. Scott, I summarized that well.
Yeah, no, it's the onboarding experience of the employee, and obviously as hiring is increasing, that that need increases. And we did a great job providing these point solutions that Dan talked about, I-9, you know, state compliance forms, onboarding solutions, tax credits. So we really kind of brought that into what we call the compliance center. So you know, clients can buy now a full suite of solutions. Looks like one total solution. That makes that onboarding of an employee easier,
right.
Easier for the organization, easier for the employee, and it really ensures you're compliant along that process. And as Dan mentioned, you know, the clients love the fact that you know it's the tax credits that come on the back end of that help pay for the full solution. Yeah. So, and then we're exploring. I mean, what are those unique requirements that are happening in our key verticals? Another kind of key focus we've got at compliance is. We recognize there's different compliance regulations in financial services versus healthcare versus education. So we're kind of doing our work now to understand what's unique in those industries and can we bring new compliance solutions to bear in those verticals. And probably then kind of extend what we're doing from the onboarding to more of the employee life cycle to cover the compliance needs. But every client we talk to, that's one of the first words that comes up when you ask, you know, Trish, to your point, what are your concerns? What do you need to make sure happens to your business? Compliance is the key word.
Yes. Well, and this is for Scott or Dan. I was talking with Julia Bailey from your compliance team yesterday, and she said something that was really interesting, and it tied back to something that, Dan, you had mentioned in one of your remarks in front of the larger audience. And she was talking about that your approach is actually a little bit different than maybe anybody else I've ever heard, where you went to some of your legal partners and sort of worked backwards, like what kind of litigation are you seeing around compliance violations, and it was about solving a problem, not about creating a solution first and then figuring out does it solve a problem. So if either one of you could talk about that, because I know Dan, you mentioned that specifically yesterday.
Yeah, Julia put a slide up that it showed that there's over 140 tax required notifications documents that are
that makes me sweat just thinking about like that's awful.
The complexity is every state is unique, so there's 43 of the states have unique requirements on that. There's 100 states that have new hire notification requirements. 38 of those are unique, and then working with our client advisory board around compliance, they've asked Scott and the team to also not only look at the vertical, but also we're now getting city type of notifications and compliance.
Gosh.
So
yeah,
San Francisco,
Boston.
And so if you're a national employer, there's a lot of gotchas and lots of ways. So the idea is, well, where is the biggest noise? Some can be covered up in a manual that someone signs and says, hey, you are aware we have paid sick leave. Others require notification, signing of notification, which then may have fines or fees adjusted by the state and or the city. And we're seeing pregnancy accommodation requirements, wage notification requirements, paid sick leave requirements. So we joked, you know, we're in New Orleans, we're trying to be the Big Easy for compliance.
Right.
Well, and you know what, I think it was interesting just hearing Julia talk about sort of what is coming next. You just mentioned the three biggest that she had shared with me, and I think that it's interesting too when after I've sat through several other sessions and thinking about even Team Rubicon's approach, it's when you start thinking about you can't solve every problem, but you do have to go to those most critical first. And so I do like your approach that's what you're doing for employers. And I think to me, if I'm someone who either you know, isn't currently using you or are using you for other services, to me that would be a huge reason to think about Compliance Center, just for that alone. Because again, I think that so many people are not doing those. I remember last year after Julia's session, I went back to two of my former employers and just said, hey, here's the laundry list of things I know we're in states, you know, you need to look into.
Right.
And they are both, you know, Equifax customers, so they contacted their people. But it's a big, that's a big issue. And so if HR leaders aren't doing that right now, or it could be payroll leaders, that's where they should probably be focused.
And I think Dan mentioned an important point, which is our client advisory board. So we, you know, back to the point, going from kind of focus on IN to the broader compliance solutions, we started several years ago with a client advisory board just focused on I-9, because in itself is a huge issue. And that has, over the past couple of years, expanded.
Right.
You know, Trish, to your point, the compliance needs go well beyond now just the I-9. Mm-hmm. So we've got, you know, 20-plus clients that advise us on a regular basis where those big issues are. So, you know, the solutions we're coming out with are really based on what we're hearing from those clients. And they've been really helpful to help us kind of think through, again, what are the possibilities, but then to your point, what are the priorities? You could do a lot of things.
Yeah.
What are the things that are the most important to our clients and have the biggest potential risk to our clients if they don't do those things right?
Yeah. Let me do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bose. Trish McFarland, sitting to my left,
to your
on
left,
your radio dot.
The radio right.
Great to be here at Equifax Forum 2015 in New Orleans. We're joined by Dan Adams, Mike Sanka, and Scott Collins from Equifax. And thanks to our friend Pam for getting this all set up. She's idly watching, keeping track of the proceedings.
She's being idle?
No, I guess that's not probably. She's quietly
sitting.
Oh yeah, keeping track of the proceedings for us and keeping us all on track, which is great.
That's good.
Super to be here. We love this event every year. And last night, by the way.
Do you want to talk about that for a moment? That's a recent.
We had our own Mardi Gras parade.
Right. So normally you go to any event, anywhere, any conference, any industry you're in, and you would be probably on a bus of some sort to get to your destination, right? We walk out of the front of the hotel, and there were, how many floats were there? Seven at least?
Wow. And a marching band.
Actual Mardi Gras floats led by a marching band through the streets of New Orleans. We were throwing beads. We were laughing. It was
so fun.
How many beads we threw out? 120,000 beads?
Oh, my goodness.
Somewhere in the range of 120,000, 150,000 beads.
It was.
And let me tell you another thing. So as someone who does St. Louis Mardi Gras every single year, you all threw out some really nice beads. Like, those aren't the beads that a lot of people throw out, right? We throw out the teeny tiny beads only, but you threw out the big beads. It was, you know. And I also,
The big beads.
The large beads.
Oh, yeah.
But get some distance.
I think we took out a 44 window
here,
from one of them.
Yeah, people who live here must be used to this. They acted like they were used to this, like in the middle of the day, it'd just be a new,
well,
you know,
having police escort all the way through to Mardi Gras World.
And then Mardi Gras World.
Incredible.
Okay, so you have to check out, well, you know, they're on Twitter. You can follow either me or Steve and see some of the pictures. They were beautiful floats, and Mardi Gras World was amazing as well.
I think the note is don't park your car along a parade route. The plastic hail that will rain down on your car. Yeah. Will.
And the backs of the pickup trucks.
The backs of the pickup trucks were a little bit, trying to ring everything, right?
So that was super fun. So that was great highlight of the event and just a great time and great opportunity to spend time with the folks from Equifax as well as customers and partners. And
your customers loved it.
Just a huge win all the way around. So, you know, we talk about compliance on this show. We've done a couple of these shows from the forum over the years, and we sort of, and when we talk about compliance more generally, sometimes we sort of say, and Trish, you alluded to this as well, like, well, you've got to get all this stuff right before you can do other things, before you can do the higher value add things or the more strategic things, whatever, however you want to term it. But I sort of think about it, some of the things you guys were sharing this week is, it's not just that, it's not just do this in order so I can do that, it's also taking advantage of the data that is produced from these different compliance operations or processes and the tools that help support them, and turning that data into a valuable tool as well. And Dan, you talked a lot about this at the conference. I'd love for you to share how you're thinking about helping your customers move just from having data into taking advantage of that data.
Yeah, thanks. It's a strategic imperative. It's driven by our CEO, Rick Smith, who's just been unbelievable in transforming Equifax over the last 10 years. And we've always talked about being a data and analytics based company, and that's who we are, and we've been in the business for 100 years. But we pivoted 2 years ago around, we wanted to move from data and analytics into insights. And the word insights, for many, there's lots of definition of insights, and we frankly had to define it ourselves. And we defined it as it's a non-obvious understanding of our data, which if acted upon, changes client behavior for mutual benefit.
Okay.
And
I like that.
Well, if you have data and analytics, it's easy to walk in and say, hey, we have some facts, we have benchmark, we have understanding. But if you haven't linked it to a problem and you don't have a solution and you can't quantify what the problem is worth and what the solution provides, then you really don't have a true insight. So we found our organization and our account executives walking in with data and benchmarking tools, but if it didn't result in a final outcome, it was not very attractive for us. So what we, Scott mentioned Katrina, take one example.
Right.
The issue with Katrina is in order to provide the tax credit, you had to know somebody lived in the affected hurricane area prior to the hurricane.
Okay.
So it seems easy enough, but who has the records? How do you get those records? So we leveraged our header data off our credit files to isolate close to 6.2 million consumers 10 years ago that lived here. And then through the work number, we screened those against to provide work opportunity tax credits. And Scott, I think we saved our clients or they received over $120 million in tax credits over the last 10 years.
And that continues to even today. This year. That's, it wasn't just back then. That's, 2005 was the hurricane. The clients are still receiving benefit for those hires.
Wow.
So everything we're doing is around trying to understand the data and the analytics, whether it's on turnover. We also talked about, unemployment claims. Legacy, kind of the BPO mentality, we process. We're all about user experience and try to have insights off the data. So Scott and our analytics team are leaning into predictive analytics that as I fill in what information I have on
right.
a case, we actually can predict what's the probability of a win rate based on the separation code and the state.
Okay.
So what that does for clients, they begin to learn the documentation they need. More importantly, our win rates in 1 year alone through our Case Builder application have gone up about 4%, and that was about a $45 million savings for our client.
Wow. This year. It doesn't say 4%, 4%. When you talk about it in millions of dollar terms, then you think, wow, that's a heavy impact.
So everything we do is focused around the data, the analytics, and the insights.
Yeah, I saw that one demo that I thought was really fascinating, right? As you're sort of engaging with the tool and, okay, I've got this documentation in order, I've got this interview, my meter was moving, right, in the right direction on my chances to win. And there's probably lots of applications for that kind of a technology. I was thinking, I won't say who it was, but a friend of mine was showing me just an irksome process of loading some sales information into Salesforce.com. I'm not a Salesforce.com user. I mean, it's not really a knock on them. I hope they're not listening. But it was so like, but I was when I was watching this demo, or it wasn't really a demo, I was watching this process, I'm thinking, but who would want to do that? Like putting in all this information manually and tagging things and I'm thinking, well, you know, the person was saying, well, you've got to do that in order to track this or that. It all made sense why you do it, but there was no little meter. I was looking for that meter that said, if I do all of these things, what are the chances then I'll have a better qualified lead or I'm going to maybe convert or what's the, if I had that little visual indicator, like this terribly burdensome work is actually going to help me. Like, I'd be much more likely to do it, I think.
Absolutely. And, the other big change for us over the last 3 to 4 years, it has come out of the West Coast with all the SaaS providers. Even though we're in compliance, we can have better user experience. It's also simple but elegant as our technology team. And for the first time, we had our technology and our operations and our marketing team talk about the vision of where we're taking the company.
Yeah.
I think that was really well received.
It was really good. Really good.
So user experience really matters, and we've of course adopted an agile type methodology, and we're doing sprints around all of our product development now with heavy client input every step of the way.
Yeah, definitely. What else? What else do we want to hit, Trish, you think, before we sort of take our last measure of New Orleans?
I don't know. Anything else that you found interesting or maybe unexpected? Things maybe you heard from a client that's here? Just anything that stands out?
We had a little bit. We talked about financial wellness and some of the things that we're looking at doing around the work number. We still think there's, again, our overall goal is through the work number, which is payroll data. It provides insights into an ability to pay for a consumer versus a strictly credit score mentality,
right.
which is the model in America. It's all about the credit score. It has been for 50 years, a FICO score that was developed in 1959. It's all about
Is it more or less the same kind of way it's done?
Well,
since then? I mean, it must have changed it over the years a little bit.
Well, the recipe is all about the liability statement view of a consumer, meaning what you owe and your behavior around payments. But your score, although there's some rank ordering around income, has no correlation to your net worth. Mm. So it is, what we're walking in with the with our work number data is score alone is not enough, and that you're employed matters, and our insights are now around tenure. Meaning that what, and I'll give you an example. So if you take the financial services industry, a lender might on an application say, Steve, do you work? Sure,
right.
I work. And the lender goes, terrific, I move to the next step. In financial services, we see overall turnover rates of 21%. But the next question should have been, Steve, how long have you
right.
How long have you worked? And what we're finding is that in financial services, if you've been employed less than 1 year, probability of total turnover is 61%.
Right.
And then the next question is, are you hourly or are you salary? So what we see is overall turnover rates, if you're hourly, less than a year, close to 90%. So we're showing lenders that there's other things to ask, but more importantly, if you're a consumer, we're absolutely proving that maybe a low score individual, we can walk in and say that individual has worked 4 years consistently, they outperform what that score indicates.
Right.
Which means we feel that there are millions of consumers that are being mispriced by looking at a score alone. So we're fundamentally trying to retool this credit business, and we're also asking our HR partners that, hey, if a Fitbit makes people move, conscious, does providing scores and credit education on a more ongoing basis at an employer level, would that help build a better stability for that consumer and work on their credit?
Yeah,
and I think that piece of that is to kind of tag on to that. You know, we're showing these new insights about turnover to our employers, and of course they're asking us the question, what can they do about that? How can they lower that turnover that is unwanted, if you will? So we're actually bringing in some partners, probably new this forum, as well as bringing in some outside partners that we think we could work with to bring some new solutions that help clients bring that turnover down. So we've got Evolve here, Payscale here. They've got some really unique solutions that are kind of tying selection criteria and pay and who your manager is down to how do you bring that overall turnover down. So it's the, kind of call it that what, so what, now approach. Right.
Right?
The data is the what, the insights the so what. Now the question is, now what do we do about that to bring that, to improve our position in those areas? So that's new for us too, is kind of not just thinking what can we do alone, but how can we bring in partners that help bring a better overall solution to our clients?
That's a great point, Scott. And you know, what's unique about the business, Scott runs the employer, and then we have the verifier that works with the banks. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is around the work number. The work around turnover came in discussions with clients around unemployment claims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we compare on turnover to others in the industry? Well, is it voluntary turnover? Is it involuntary turnover? Which then ask the other questions, why do we see this turnover? Where is it? And the discovery that fast turnover, the percentage of turnover that's coming for the first year, is really through the roof.
Mm. Mm.
And it's across many industries. So it's not quite an insight because we don't have a solution. Scott's bringing in new partners to say, how do we help clients with this turnover problem?
Yeah, I think that's fascinating because I've lived that too, where we knew we had a problem. We did figure out where that was in the first year, for example, but yeah, we never knew.
Yeah.
Let's have a focus group. The last real job I had, we had the same problem with our sales teams.
Like, we were losing salespeople like crazy.
Right.
And we had just no idea why. They were like,
right.
I mean, just no clue why.
Because no one,
like,
well, I think too, also, you just don't know. People don't really tell you anymore why they're leaving.
Yeah.
Not really.
No one wants to burn bridges.
You don't want to burn bridges. So yeah, it's very difficult, I think, to really have actionable. Again, it gets back to that full circle. It makes. What I'm hearing from you now is that you're making things actionable for that HR team, for that C-suite, you know, so that they can take some of this data they've been sitting on, even they might have a little bit of information about it, and now they can maybe do something with it.
Absolutely.
So
and some are short-term fixes, some are longer-term fixes.
Yeah.
So, but we are absolutely, you know, focused on client problems that we are uncovering and driving toward those insights to assist them.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great story. And really, finally, I think, your help, with your help and help of some other folks, like some of the partners that you're bringing in, we're finally moving the conversation, I think. We're finally slightly, haltingly moving it from, oh, let's just get a lot of data together. And
that's true.
And then moving it to, well, what are we really going to do with this data? What is that one or two or three little bits of information that if we could have that, if we could really understand that, the data could help reveal, you know,
absolutely,
then we can make better decisions and maybe even make decisions in a predictive manner,
exactly,
right? That before it's too late, before that salesperson leaves or before, you know, the nurses quit and go to a better job.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, this is a topic for a whole nother show, but, and we've done it in the past where, you know, it is what do HR leaders need to know? What do they need to be worrying about and learning for the future in order to stay current? And it, that leads to that, you know, what you're doing is also education for a whole group of people who may not understand that they have this data, but what do I do with it? And so it's not something I was really taught in college back when I was getting my master's in HR. So, you know, it goes all the way back to the educational level at the universities. Are they going to start teaching how to make these, you know, insights into reality so that by the time, you know, 20 years from now, you won't even have this conversation. Maybe it'll be built in. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I also look at it from an education standpoint. What you all are doing is very unique. Not just giving data. So
it's great, great stuff. Great event.
I love doing this live. Isn't this fun?
And I say I don't say this to every event, but this is my favorite event. I like other events.
You've said that.
This is my
so
favorite
many
event. I think it is.
I mean, in this, the last couple days.
So what else? Any last words?
Not from me.
From the Equifax Workforce Solutions gang.
I need to
gang,
like,
thank
go
you
home and just absorb all of this.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for being here.
I'll meet you. This is top shelf.
It is.
Do you like that? That's an expression I heard somewhere. Top shelf.
Is it?
I've been in a bar, too.
We'll
leave it at that.
Allowed to tweet pictures of that?
No,
or no?
Yeah. We're not.
Yeah. But we have to comment. You look great, Steve.
Thank you.
Yes.
You
do.
So do you, Trish, just so we're not being
fabulous.
We need to get a group photo of the show before we leave here.
Radio.
So we'll do that.
With the show. Podcast.
And we can show, like, how classy I look.
Oh, goodness.
Dressed up I am
in
my
great tie.
My
pinstripe
shirt. I got the
pocket square.
I'm going to have to step up my game.
I will shout out. So this is the tie bar. If you, gentlemen,
wow,
you're looking for reasonably priced
you have
ties.
A tie bar on?
No, it's the company's called the tie
I'm
bar.
It's got a tie bar.
Transport
retro.
I know. I was like, are we in 1980? What
ties,
are we doing with a tie bar?
Tie bars, pocket squares. It's the best site for it. And then like 15, 20 bucks for ties. It's like, I've spent more on ties.
Are you going to kick back from the tie bar?
I'm not. I should.
You better reach out.
Getting nothing from them.
Maybe they'll send you a free tie for the next show.
We ought to do that. So, any final announcements? HR Tech Conference, I'm planning that. Equifax Workforce Solutions teams will be there. I've got to get home and finish planning it. That's what I need to do.
HR Evolution tickets are on sale. Happy to announce, and we have not announced it on the show.
No, we haven't.
It is in St. Louis, Missouri.
We are excited.
November 7th, and we're going to have our tweet up on November 6th. And so location still to be determined, but early bird tickets are actually almost sold out, and they actually, I haven't checked this morning, they could be sold out. So maxing out at 150. We had 25 tickets already sold, and it's only been open for a couple days. So yeah, this one will sell out pretty quickly. So if you know an HR professional or you are one, go to the website and check that out.
And then last but not least, I subscribe, iTunes, your favorite podcast app, search for HR Happy Hour, add us to your subscriptions, download, we're there, you don't miss a show. It's blowing up, the podcast, it's a big thing all of a sudden, but we're everywhere. So
everywhere.
Check us out. We have the LinkedIn, we've got the Twitter, the Facebook, all
you're
of
everywhere
this stuff. So don't miss a show. We had some great shows. We did shows at Benefits Conference last week, did a couple of good shows. What's coming up? Last thing we'll say, and we'll let it go. Trish and I are doing our annual, first ever,
first annual
NBA playoff preview show.
We are.
Next
we're
going
to make some predictions.
The Equifax Workforce Solutions team are looking at me like I'm crazy. I mean, I am probably. So a few weeks ago, we were doing it. We got on the phone to do a quick podcast. We didn't really have a topic in mind. And the Oscars were coming up, and so we were talking about that. And Trish, like,
I'm a huge Oscar fan.
Like,
I know everything about the
Oscars. Predict the
Oscars.
She's a big movie fan. I'm not so much. And so we did an Oscars preview predictions show, where it turns out I had seen none of the movies and knew very little about any of them. Besides not even seeing them, Trish knew a lot. So then we decided
I had to turn the tables. Suffice to say, my predictions were terrible. I think I got one right out of like 10.
You called Birdman. That was pretty amazing.
We're going to do one on the NBA playoffs, which are starting soon in the next few days.
I'm
going to get my comeuppance basketball on that show.
I'm going to rely on my son because, you know, he picks it every year and he does pretty well.
So look for that next week. And then more fun and games from the HR Happier Show. So Trish, to see you again.
You as well.
Equifax team, thanks very much again. We'll see you next time from the HR Happy Hour Show.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.